It's the most wonderful time of the year.
It is indeed the most wonderful time of the year. Football is finally back, and I'm excited to bring you this football preview for the 2022 Demon football season on this, the 45th episode of the Falcon Podcast. Before we begin, a quick word from our sponsor. Before I get into football, I have to give praise to the Lady Demons soccer, who opened up the season with a 4-1 dismantling of Louisiana Tech, outshooting the Dogs 22-8. Even more impressive is all four goals scored by different players. Soccer is looking as good as advertised and even playing with kind of an edge. So major respect for the Demons soccer team. In 2018, Coach Brad Lehrer was hired as the new football coach at NSU and tasked with erasing over a decade of mediocrity and restore once proud football program to glory. No one thought it would be an easy task, but even the most ardent Demon supporters failed to understand just how difficult of a climb that task would be. Since taking over the Demons, Coach Lehrer has gone 5-6, 3-9, 1-5 in a spring campaign caused by COVID, and a 3-8 finish last year, with the bright spot being a 24-20 win at McNeese for the first time since 1988 to cap off last season. In short, the results have not met expectations, and as such, Coach Lehrer made massive changes to the staff, bringing new defensive coordinator Weston Glazer from Campbell and offensive coordinator Cody Creel from UIW. Now, anyone following Demons knows that Coach Creel resigned recently, and I will touch upon that in a moment. Coach Lehrer took over from Coach Jay Thomas, and the last team on a Jay Thomas era averaged 22 points per game, 364 yards. The numbers were not good, especially when comparing to Sam Houston that year, who averaged 43 points and 530 yards of offense. Grantedly, that Sam Houston team was a great team with a prolific offense and did make it to the semifinals where they lost to North Dakota State 55-13. I mentioned that North Dakota State score to show you that as good as Sam Houston was compared to us, there was a huge gap between them that year and North Dakota State, which shows you the gap that the Demons have to overcome since Coach Lehrer took over to become an actual competitive team in the FCS playoffs. Now, in Lehrer's first year, the Demons showed marked improvement, averaging 28 points and 419 yards per game. A definite improvement made even more impressive when you factor in that they played that very great LSU Joe Burrow-led team that won a national title. Unfortunately, since that first season under Coach Brad Lehrer, the offense has seen a steady regression, culminating in last year, which saw the Demon average only 19 points a game and only 362 yards of offense. The one bright spot is the Demons have improved in the penalty situation, averaging 78 yards per game in penalties in Coach Lehrer's first year to 57 last year. With the improvement in penalties and steady decline throughout, to me it shows the problem isn't discipline or talent, but schematically. And if you watched film last year, nothing on our offense stood out. We had no go-to plays. I'm not sure what our identity actually was. We didn't run the ball particularly well. We didn't throw the ball particularly well. We kind of looked like we're throwing things to the wall and hoping something sticked, and nothing ever did. You look at those great teams. I mentioned that Joe Burrow LSU team, those little slant passes, the little short passes were their bread and butter. If nothing was working, they could always go to that, and Joe Burrow was great at doing that. You look at the great 94-95 Nebraska teams under Coach Tom Osborne. If nothing worked, they could always go power eye formation and just pound the ball up the middle and dare you to stop them, and normally it would be effective. It gave them something to do. And you look at the great teams in history, whether NFL, high school, college, no matter the level, great teams and good teams have an offensive identity where no matter what, you know what they will do if nothing else works. The Demons, unfortunately, didn't have that, and as such, you saw the results last year, which were not pretty. With those problems, the Demons parted ways with Coach Brad Smiley, who became the head coach at Southern Arkansas, and entered UIW offensive coordinator Cody Creel, who built one of the top offenses while in San Antonio that averaged 39 points and 446 yards per game. His offenses were known for being very fast and spraying the ball out to create mismatches on defense. It was a fun and up-tempo style of football and brought great success to UIW, in particular with very talented quarterback Cameron Ward. Unfortunately, last week a bombshell did hit the news wire, and Coach Grill resigned 2 months before the season opener at Montana. According to reports, Coach Grill left to be with his family, and I cannot fault that, as family should always take precedence. When I was at Northwestern, Coach Sam Goodwin and some other coaches on the staff came and talked to the athletes. And I don't remember if it was Coach Goodwin or one of his assistants, but in essence, he said that when he was first at Northwestern, he had problems with his family and his marriage was failing because he spent all of his time with the team and he regretted it. And he decided, a few seasons before then, to make sure he always put his family first, that his family would never come second to football again. And as such, he felt that his family life improved, his marriage improved, and the results speak for themselves. The football team did improve as well. So I can't fault Coach Krill for leaving, and from everything being reported, sounds very amicable. Sounds like Coach Larratt worked with him, and this is just the best decision. So, thoughts and prayers out to Coach Krill. Hope everything is okay with him and his family, and, wherever he had to leave for the time, obviously that's more important than Demon football. So our hearts are with him and prayers with him. After Coach Kerr resigned, entered Coach Bo Blair, who's promoted to offensive line coach from offensive line coach to offensive coordinator. While this may be cause for concern, Coach Blair did lead a very good offense at New Mexico Highlands, where he was the offensive coordinator. Unfortunately, New Mexico Highlands is not a major program, and I don't say that in any way of disrespect, but they do not have a lot of game film floating around. But from what I've seen and the pieces I can kind of put together, his offense reminds me a lot of Chip Kelly's offense when he was at Oregon. While a little bit different from Grill, there are a lot of similarities between Coach Blair and Coach Grill. Blair does like to run more, but their styles are similar, with both liking run quick plays. They both like to spread you out, create mismatches in space, and basically try and just play almost a kind of a game of chess at the line of scrimmage with you, where you go down, see who's covering who, see if it's zone or man, and then try and pick it apart. If there is a weakness in his offense, is that if forced to pass in third and long or do any plays that's slow to develop, they did seem to be to give up a lot more sacks in those situations. But that's for a lot of teams. So with his offense, it's got to be quick. The ball's got to get out fast, and you've got to hit your gaps quickly. If you're running back, can't try and bounce it outside and play hero ball. You've got to run the plays, and they've got to be quick, 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 up-tempo. And if that works, when his offense is on, it's a very potent offense. Unfortunately, when you do get forced in those third and longs and slow developing, it can look ugly at times. But I do believe that's true of pretty much any coach. But that is a small criticism. And watching his offense, I was really impressed with what he brought to the table and what he'll bring to Northwestern. Looking at the Demons, Coach Blair will have a good bit of weapons at his disposal, including the return of talented wide receiver Javon Antonio, who missed last season. The Demons are losing last year's top three receivers in Jay Griffin, Gavin Landry, and Kendrick Price. A player I expect to fill in one of those roles is Stanley King, who showed flashes of being a great player last year with a really excellent game against Southeastern. I think with Javon Antonio back, with the style of play that Coach Blair likes, I could see Stanley King really coming into his own this year and becoming one of the breakout weapons for the Demons. In the running game, the Demons bring back very talented Scooter Adams and Sir Michael Veasley. This may be our strongest point on the offense, and with good line play, I can see them becoming a potent 1-2 punch in conference. Both are very fast, both shifty, but both have decent size on them, so I could see this being an absolute stellar backfield for the Demons. During fall practice, the starting quarterback spot was split between Zach Clement and Kansas Jayhawk transfer Miles Fallon. Both quarterbacks bring some intangibles to the table. Zach Clement is a warrior and really knows how to win. He is the more versatile of the two and a much better scrambler. Miles Fallon, who's not slow by any stretch, to me is a much better pocket passer. At the end of the day, I believe the starting job will go to who's most effective and fits in with Coach Blair's vision with the offense. I don't think you could go wrong with either guy. I think Zach Clement is a great quarterback. I think Miles Fallon definitely shows some promise on the films I've seen of him. His footwork is absolutely stellar, and you could probably teach people how to do footwork based on his film. So I think Coach Blair has a lot to work with both our quarterbacks. There was supposed to be an announcement this week about who the starting quarterback would be. As of recording this episode, that has not come out, but I will definitely retweet it as soon as it hits the airwaves and as soon as it hits the news wires. Demons didn't utilize the tight end much last year when B. Young, with three freshmen joining a squad and Jalen Glosson, Monte Johnson, and Trayvon Jones. Trayvon Jones is the only one I've really seen a lot of. He actually attended my son's arch rival in Dutchtown High School, my son being a Sanamaw Gator. And Trayvon Jones, remember seeing him. He is a very big guy. He can block well, but also can run routes like a wide receiver. So that's going to be fun to watch him and see if he can get involved. Last year, I said before the season, I thought our offensive line had potential to be the best line at Northwestern since 2001. And for whatever reason, the line didn't gel, got almost no push regardless of the play type. And if the Demons are going to be successful, it has to change. But that was probably the most disappointing part of the Demons last year. This will be a young line, only two seniors on the squad and a ton of redshirt and true freshmen. I am excited to watch Tishon Turpin. He is a transfer from North Texas that looked really good on film. I could see him doing some great things at JUCO level. He actually was part of a running offense, so I think that's something the Demons need, is to have that power guys that can just push the line back. So the offensive line is going to be young, but they're going to have to figure it out really quick for the offense to work. The positive, though, with the style of play that we should have, that'll be a quick strike offense, which means the defense won't get a lot of time to penetrate the line. And hopefully that'll kind of help us out as the younger linemen learn their way. Lots of questions, but definitely a lot of potential. And that leads us to the defense. And throughout the offseason, much was made about the defense giving up 34 points and 443 yards per game last year. I've read it in more than one news article. And I really felt this is unfair, and I believe due to our offensive woes, the D was many times placed in a no-win situation. There are times, such as early on against Southeastern, where our D, I thought, was playing very well, and only to get worn down as the game progressed because they never could get off the field due to the offense going three and out. And I can't help wonder how the D would have fared had they been off the field a little longer, where they could have talked to the coaches, figure out what was going wrong, make better adjustments, and get rest. Instead, when you have drives going 30, 40 seconds, your defense runs off the field before they even sit down. They're putting their helmets back on, and it just puts you at such a disadvantage, especially when other teams are coming up and, you know, they have the blackboard, they've able to show what the other team's doing, they can make adjustments. It's just puts you in such a bad situation. And with that said, enter new defensive coordinator Weston Glazer, who I believe is taking over a very talented squad. Of interesting note, Coach Glazer is part of the coaching tree of former Demon head coach Scott Stoker, and definitely can see some shades of Scott Stoker's coaching style with the style of defense that Weston Glazer brings. And that's a definite high point, as I've been a very big fan of Coach Stoker for a while. And I think as a defensive coordinator, he's second to none. From looking at the film, Coach Glazer definitely uses four defensive linemen in every set. And it looks like he switches between a 4-3, 4-4, and a cover 4. His interior linebackers usually seal off the runs while the outside linebackers cover the flats and secondary coverage. One thing I like from watching his film assignments, his assignments seem to switch quite often, and many times I was confused about what he was trying to do, and I mean that in a good way, as I really had trouble getting a read and fighting patterns. To give an example of this, my father was a football coach in high school for many, many years, and we went to a game between a Curly Holman-led LSU team and an Alabama team led by Gene Stallings. And I don't remember if it was the year they won a national title. I believe it was. If not, it was the year either right before or right after. But at the game, my dad literally started calling out every single play LSU was going to do on defense and everything the linebackers and linemen would do. And the thought was, if my dad, a high school coach, and I mean no disrespect by that, could figure out what Alabama was doing from the bleachers, there's no doubt Alabama's coaches, led by Gene Stallings, could figure it out. And I remember the game was just an absolute blowout. Conversely, he also coached against John Curtis High School, which, if those of you not from Louisiana, that's the powerhouse team in Louisiana football. And he showed me a film of them before and said, if you look at them, there's nothing special what they do, but they throw wrinkles in at just the right time where it keeps you off guard and you're never quite sure what to prepare for. And it kind of reminds me of looking at Coach Glazer's teams, is that you kind of see what he wants to do, but at the same time, he throws enough wrinkles in where it keeps you kind of guessing where he's going. And I'm really excited to see how it transfers with, especially with the type of talent coming back. On a defensive line, I look for Jabraylon Yarber to have a breakout year. He's a very solid player with experience, and I believe he can feast under the new defensive scheme, where I believe he'll be tasked more filling the gaps than creating pressure. His talent should free up Isaiah Longino on the edge and give him a good opportunity to get some edge blitzes, get some sacks, and shut down outside runs and quarterback scrambles. Behind him at linebacker is the talented Jamar Valson. And Valson, I could see floating between coverage and blitzing linebacker, doing a little man-to-man. Has the size and speed to really be very versatile back there. And again, with Glazer changing up those defensive looks and those defensive schemes, I think Valson should be able to feast really, really well in this new defense. And a part of our defensive team and our football team in general I'm most excited about is our defensive coverage. Shamar Bartholomew and P.J. Harrington are both elite talents that I believe both have potential to be NFL players once they move on from Northwestern. If the defensive scheme can gel with the talent I see, this Demon team could have the best coverage not only in the Southland, but possibly one of the best pass coverage teams and pass coverage units in the nation. The talent is there on defense and should be more experienced. And if the offense can sustain drives, I see the D-er making a return to the days of the Purple Swarm defense. It's just a tremendous defensive unit, and the speed, the size, the experience, the coaching knowledge, I think it all shapes up to be a very, very exciting defensive unit. And, you know, hopefully they do come together like I'm envisioning, because if they do, you know, it's going to be some fun games out at Turpin Stadium. Last but not least on special teams, which I am mentioning last for a very good reason, we have Eddie Godina and Scotty Roblo returning. And for the first time in a long time, I don't think we have any issues on special teams. I'm actually quite confident in them, which I can't remember the last time I've said that about a Northwestern team, which is why I'm mentioning them last. There's nothing, no question marks about this special teams unit. Godina and Roblo are both tremendous, tremendous players. I think special teams units are going to be tremendous. I think between us and McNeese, it will be one and two as far as the best special team units in the Southland. Both guys prove they can get the job done, so our special team should be rock solid this year. And at the end of the day, this is a make or break for Coach Laird. If he can turn the Demons around, I have zero doubt he will get a nice extension and be the Demons coach for a long time. If the Demons have another losing season, I fear this will be the end of the Brad Laird era. I've gone on record, and I'm going to say again, I like Coach Laird, and I want him to do well. He reminds me a great deal of Coach Sam Goodwin, and like Coach Goodwin, I believe he can be the guy to bring some magic to Turpin Stadium. I believe in Coach Laird. I said I consider him a friend. I think he's a great coach, and you know, really do hope that he gets this turned around, because I do believe he is the guy that can bring Northwestern places. Had the Demons not been on the end of 16 straight non-winning seasons, I believe he'd have possibly a longer leash. But the unfortunate reality is that as a program, we can't sustain losing much longer. And I believe we're at the breaking point. If you look at the fan base, which for the Demons has always been passionate, we'll start off with a good fan base, and by the end of the year, it gets down almost nothing. And last year, I think the last two or three games, if there were more than 500 people in Turpin, I'd be surprised. And it's really sad to see that, because I remember at times in the late 90s and early 2000s where we were getting 14, 15,000 in the stadium. And looking at our returning and incoming talent, you know, I believe this Demon team will have a winning record. I'm going to go on record right now and make a prediction. We're going to have a winning record, and I think Coach Laird will stay on as Demon coach. I think it's a well-constructed team and one has a lot of potential. They're picked to finish fourth in preseason polls, and I think that is a huge, huge sign of respect for the talent of his team. When a team has struggled as much as Northwestern to get picked in the top of the standings, that's a huge, huge compliment, and a huge stamp of approval from athletic directors and sports writers. One thing that does scare me, though, is opening at Montana. Simply put, we haven't been close to the level of those teams in quite a long time. And while I believe we have the talent to compete with the Grizz, we will also be breaking a new coaching staff and a lot of new faces. If we do have any hiccups, Montana can easily blow us out, and they've done that to a lot of good teams in Missoula, Montana. It's a tough place to play, but I do believe this could be beneficial for the Demons because you're not going to have a tougher team or a tougher venue after Missoula, Montana the rest of the year. After that game, we have a huge game coming up against Grambling and Shreveport. Should be a very well-attended game, and I believe it's a chance for the Demons to win back some of the fans that might have drifted away from the program. As the Demons put the final touches on preseason prep, I believe it's important to remember how quickly fortunes and programs can turn around for better or worse. For the Demons, no excuses this year. It's, you know, do or die. This is it for the Demons. And as a Demon fan, Demon alumni, I believe, you know, we have to turn it around. Just unacceptable for the shape the program was in. And, you know, this is the time we have to do it. In a few days, we're going to see the Demons take the field, and many questions are going to be answered. I'm looking forward to what Coach Laird and staff have in store and have confidence in this team. I will be back next week with a preview of the Montana game, as well as a discussion of all sports at NSU. I hope you have a great week. Enjoy the opening week in college football. And as always, please reach me on Twitter at Farcom Podcast. Love hearing from everybody that listens into the episodes. Love your feedback. It's always fun to have conversations and just talk about Demon sports with different people from around the United States and the world. Hope you stay safe. Have a great weekend. Hope you stay dry. Being in South Louisiana, we've had rain, I think, every day, it seems, for the last month. But, you know, hopefully you will stay safe and dry here. Enjoy some college football. See you next week. As always, Farcom Demons.